Extraordinary Moms podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I bring you a new episode where I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons that they've learned along the way. And Friday is my chance to chat with you about whatever's been on my heart. And this week, it's summer. Now, depending upon where you are in the country, your kids may already be out for the summer. I have 2 more weeks to go, but my son, who's in preschool, he's already gotten out. And so already, as we're getting a taste of that first week of days where it's like, how are we going to fill this time? I thought, my friend Stephanie, who does the book club episodes with me, she is a master at planning out her summer. And it's not overly planned. It's not overly structured. But she does such a great job anticipating summer with a lot of joy and excitement instead of kind of worry and dread. Because, I mean, frankly, if you're used to having your kids gone for a chunk of the day and then suddenly they're home all day long, it's more food, more messes, more cleanup, more, I'm bored, or what are we going to do? You know, those kinds of things. And that can wear on you. But the goal is to not dread summer, but to look forward to that extra time with your kids if you're at home with them, and to take that time to reconnect with them, do fun activities, do those things that get pushed aside because there's so many to-dos during the school year. This is your time to really enjoy life with them. And part of having a successful summer, in my mind, is having structure. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to get out the door at 7:30 a.m. to get to school, which is super nice. You can have more leisurely mornings. But having some structure and some predictability will go a long ways with helping your kids to be successful. Because really, kids thrive on boundaries and on routines. And if it's just loosey-goosey every single day and they never know what to expect, you're never going to know what to expect from them either. And so if you want to kind of set yourself up for success, there's a few things that you can do in order to set the expectations where you are accomplishing certain to-dos every day, but then there's plenty of time left to just enjoy life. So Stephanie's going to chat with some things that she does in her house that have been really successful. She has ages 4 all the way up to her daughter, is 11. And so that's her range. And of course, you're going to need to adapt whatever your summer's going to look like according to the ages and stages of your kids. But these are just some ideas to help you to get in the mindset of how to approach summer with a good attitude, to be excited, and just to have fun. Let loose this summer and do some things that you've been wanting to do for a while. So let's get to Stephanie and see what she has to say about having a successful summer. All right, Steph, you are my go-to summer person. A few years ago, I came to you and I said, Stephanie, tell me about your summer and tell me how you can approach it with such excitement and joy. And you were so good about telling me all these great ideas for what you do with your kids to entertain them and, you know, help them to do constructive things during the summer. And so that's why I wanted to talk with you, especially today. So hi.
Hi, thanks for having me again. And thanks for that compliment. Something that you said to me when we had that conversation, I had all of these systems and all of these ideas. And like you said, I was just, you know, going a little crazy. And you said, I said, this probably won't all happen. I highly doubt everything's going to go the way I've planned it. And you said, that's okay. You know, you shoot for the moon and it's okay if you land among the stars. And it really helped me to realize that sometimes I set, you know, the bar a little high and it's okay because at least there will be some good things that have come out of the summer. Not everything will have gone perfect, but right. You can have ideas in place.
Yeah. And you don't need to beat yourself up for the things that you don't do. Just celebrate the stuff that you do. And it's just good to have options. Because if you start totally, you know, approaching every day with a blank slate and you're at the last minute scrambling to figure stuff out, you're going to waste a lot of precious time and you're going to be stressed about it. So it's better to overplan than underplan, but then realize, you know, create some flexibility as well within your schedule.
That's right.
Yeah. So tell me what... You have summer coming up next week. Tell me how you are approaching this summer for your kids.
Well, I always like to, something I was talking to the kids before I did the podcast and asking what were their favorite parts of the summer. And my oldest daughter reminded me that she loves the, we always do this, and I don't even consider it a tradition because it's so simple, but no matter what, the last day of school, and I'm sure everyone does this, we celebrate it in some way. And usually it's so easy, just grab your group of girlfriends and everybody meet at the pool, or and just make sure that there's lots of fun food there. It doesn't have to be anything amazing, but that's just a really fun way just of celebrating the beginning of summer. And I like to, sometimes I'll put streamers, just crepe paper as they come in the door, something as simple as that. And, you know, it's just so easy, but they love that. They're like, Mom, what's this? Oh, it's the last day of school. I mean, for them, right. It's like the cat's meow, you know, that happened.
Yeah, I saw somebody one time, they filled their cars with a bunch of helium balloons. So at when their mom's in the carpool line, the kids come to get in the car, and they can barely squish in the car because there's just helium balloons everywhere. I mean, so simple, but just it signifies, okay, this is going to be a great summer. School's out. Let's celebrate what you just accomplished in a very simple way, but let's just kick it off right.
Exactly.
I love it. I love that
attitude.
I mean,
last year I think I did something that was so easy. I found it from the website 1825, and it just had those knock-knock jokes. Knock-knock, who's there? Orange, you glad it's summer. So I just took that. And I printed it up big, and then I had just a bunch of, you know, I had orange Gatorade and just a few orange things on the table. So it wasn't, it didn't take me very long, but it was just kind of a cute little thing that signified it, you know, a little present for them, very small, but kind of fun for them to do. And I thought that, I think that one thing that we do always is sit down and, you know, you'll find those bucket lists all over Pinterest, like, you know, 5,000 things to do with your kids. If I look at that, I start like panicking. Out completely because the thing with my kids is for whatever reason they totally obsess over them and they're like, Mom, we forgot to do the camp out back, and I just it like totally gets to me.
So you can get the list of 5,000 things, you can find the list that's 10 things, so or you can make your own list. So there's a lot of good like starting places, but don't do anything that's not like authentic to your priorities and your personality, and you get to choose what your summer looks like.
Yes. And so, I mean, that is super fun for the kids when they get home, or even, you know, before school's out, for them to make the bucket list with you. And they each get to, you know, contribute 2 to 3 or 4 or 5, however many you want, ideas.
Yeah.
And that's just a fun family activity. And then you have this bucket list that's manageable, because at the time you're saying, no, guys, I don't think we're going to, you know, hike Mount Everest or something, if that was one of their suggestions. So you can kind of hone it in and make sure that it's appropriate. And then you really can complete the bucket list instead of, you know what I'm saying? Getting the big ones and feeling overwhelmed by them.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's easy to feel overwhelmed. Like everything costs money too. Like, oh, we can't do Legoland and Disneyland and SeaWorld and, you know, but there's tons of free activities. So maybe like have one bigger thing that you're like working towards. Like we get to go to Legoland at the end of July if we, you know, and have it be kind of an incentive based kind of thing. But, I mean, parks are free, splash pads in your area. And there's tons of things that if you just Google your city name, you'll be able to come up with a ton of free activities. And then there's restaurants where kids eat free. So you can, you know, see on Tuesdays, okay, on such and such a Tuesday, we get to go to IHOP and we get to eat, and it's affordable.
Well, and it's neat to have that list, because then, as you say, you wake up. I mean, for me, that never happens to me where I wake up and don't have any plan at all, because I'm way too type A for that. That would just not be up my alley.
Right.
But night before, I could sit there, oh, we actually don't have anything going on tomorrow. Look at your bucket list. I mean, it's just a neat little format for you to be able to plug it in here and there when you have the open space. So I really like that. And then I've seen this idea a lot of places. Have you ever read the book Yes Day?
No.
I've seen that. It's a really cute little children's book. And this little boy, you know, he's used to being told no all the time, but then he gets this day where it's called the yes day. It's adorable. And so everything he wants, the parents say yes. Mm. So my kids love that book. And I always tell them that the first day that summer's out is their yes day. And they know that it's within reason. They get it, you know, that they can't cuckoo about it, or else, you know, I'm not going to go along with it. But all sorts of things. Can we have pancakes for dinner? Can we stay up a little late? Can we, whatever it is, it's like, yes. And I let them do what they just, anything. And it's really, really fun. And so that's kind of a little tradition that we have. We read that book and then we're like, it's your yes day today. And so it's kind of fun. That's a fun way to start the summer.
Yeah.
But back to having a plan. I think one thing that happens with kids is when, and not all kids, but a lot of kids like the structure, and mm-hmm. I like structure. So, and lots of moms don't like it. And I have lots of friends that say, you know, I'm just not good at that. That's not my strength. And I'm like, yeah, you're the one that's spontaneous and runs off and does all sorts of wonderful things. And right. I'm not good at that. So we all have our strengths. But one thing that I have found to be so effective that I did the last two summers is just having, you know, I act like this is my idea. People have been doing this for eons of time, but it's like just having a whiteboard that every day I was religious about, like, writing what we're doing, the time, because some of my kids are extremely anal, just like I am. And so they liked to, it would be like, yeah. Oh, what are we doing? Oh, what are we doing next? What are we going to do after that? It would drive me crazy. And I'd be like, guys, I don't know. So this whiteboard was wonderful to me. And they have them in the dollar bins at Target where they even mm-hmm. have a stand and then the little whiteboard. So I would put it right in the middle of our table. It would say 9:30 chores, you know, and it just kind of went, and every day was different. I did it the night before and it was just there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that small little thing made such a difference for us, but I felt like we had a plan. They felt like we had a plan and we all felt happy.
Right. So. No, totally. Kids want power and attention. And if they feel helpless, like, we'll go to the pool later, later, later. And you know in your brain kind of a vision of what later looks like. But to them, they're out of control. And that's when they start acting up. That's when they start pushing back, you know, things like that. But if you say, okay, here's the clock. At 2:30, we are going swimming. Okay. So they have something to work with. Yeah, I think kids really thrive on that kind of predictability, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that you're a big Power of Moms listener, and mm-hmm. so am I, and or reader and listener.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they always have their big summer kickoff where they give you all sorts of ideas. But I really love that idea that Saren has with, and I don't follow everything to the T or anything, but yeah. I do love her idea. That there's certain things. She basically has a summer to-do list, and the kids have to do a certain amount of things before they're able to enjoy the day. And this isn't every day, and I definitely mm-hmm. would never do this every day, but I like that she has them write a goal for the summer, one or two goals, and then they spend a little bit of time practicing their goals. She makes sure that they do writing for a little while and read for a little while and do their chores. And so they have five things that they have to do. It's like physical. I don't remember everything, but yeah. But you can go on Power Mom's website. It's all over there. And it's wonderful. And you don't have to follow it exactly, but you can get some ideas from her. Because to me, it has been fun to have them set a goal. And then that's part of their morning routine. Like, okay, you wanted to get better at basketball. Go out there for 10 minutes and go mm-hmm. shoot hoops. Or you wanted to get better. You wanted to learn the guitar. Go in and practice the guitar for 10 minutes. Then make sure you do your chores. Make sure you know, and then read for 15 minutes. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that's a good idea?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like the balance of having summer being a time for fun activities that are just kind of just enjoyable and without much like other purpose aside from that. But I think it's important to instill in your children that even during a summer where you can have fun and there's plenty of time for those types of activities and leisure and things like that, there's still things that have to get done. Mom's jobs don't stop. You know, kids still need to be fed. House needs to be cleaned. It doesn't stop. And so I think kids need to understand that there are still expectations over the summer. And so balancing, I saw a really big list that said, like, before you can do screen time, you have to do this, you know, all these things on this list. But it was seriously a list of like 15 things. And it was like 30 minutes of outside time, 30 minutes of reading, 30 minutes, like, that would take me until 5 p.m. to complete everything because I'd be so stressed out. But I thought the premise is good. And so yes. I think, but talk with your child. I just had this conversation with Parker the other day that, you know, Parker, let's talk about the fun things we want to do this summer. But then there's also some things that we're going to do, like reading and writing and some math problems. Do you know why we're going to do that over the summer? And so getting him to understand, we're not just writing because I'm a drill sergeant. We're not just reading because I'm a taskmaster. We're doing those things so that we can, our brains can, you know, not forget those things. We can be ready for that next grade. The approach has a lot to do with how successful anything that you present to your kids is going to go.
Right. And so currently my kids have a system for their chores. And mm-hmm. I was just thinking as we were talking that this would be cool to kind of implement Saren's idea of the writing, reading, practice, and chores. But I love this little idea for their chores right now. They love it. They each have, again, I'm sorry, I'm like Target spokesperson here, but in the dollar bin, they have these really cute little clipboards. And so what I did is just laminate each kid's chore chart. So I have four kids, and so I have four different sets of chores. Every single chart has make your bed, brush your teeth, clean your room, right? But then there's a couple extra chores like unload the dishwasher, take out the trash. So what my kids do is they rotate these clipboards. And so one week they're in charge of the dishwasher and the trash, let's say. And then the next week they're in charge of vacuuming the bedrooms. But they don't get bored of just one set of jobs because we're always rotating the clipboards. But they love, I mean, I cannot emphasize the word love enough, because they get to mark it off. It's laminated. They have their little yeah. markers that they cross off. So for whatever reason, they feel responsible with that. And then it's also like, I don't have to nag. I mean, look at your chore chart. And for Anna, it's all pictures, you know, and then yeah. the other kids can read. So it's kind of fun for them. Like, okay. And the other thing I was going to say about chores, I'm torn because, or about getting things done before screen time. I'm a little torn because I personally, I don't know, it's summer. I want to kind of lay yeah. in bed. If I want to read a book for like 10 minutes instead of, the thing is when your kids wake up, if there's no screen time, then you have to like pop out of bed and be on.
I agree. I like a little screen time in the morning because that buys me a little more time to like wake up. Yeah.
Problem with that. I know people have problems with that. I, yeah. for me and my family, let them wake up and watch a cartoon. Heck, I did that when I was right. little. I mean, let them wake up.
Look
and watch
at how you turned
if
out.
That works yeah. for your family. Some people say, right. oh, that sets us on a terrible path for the day.
Right.
But for me, it doesn't because right. I love it because I can just kind of be alone for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so anyway, they'll watch a show or two and then it's like, okay, TVF. And then I'm on and I feel like, okay, I had right. a minute to myself. I got showered or whatever it was. But now it's kind of like time for TV off and short time. And that's how my family does it. And yeah. I know every family's different, but
yeah,
I don't beat myself up about all these things have to be done before we do something. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah. And if your kids are early risers, like at 6 a.m., like my kids are, I don't want my day to start at 6 a.m. and doing chores at 6 a.m. I'd rather have them, you know, watching a show or being on a screen or something, doing something that, you know, has been approved and everything. But, you know, and if we get to chores around 9 o'clock or 8:30 or whatever it is, that's fine. I mean, the most important thing is it's getting done and they're able to disconnect from that screen when you say, okay, it's time to do something else.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that that's probably the difference because maybe some kids have a harder time and right. maybe some families have decided this isn't going to work. And for whatever reason, for me, it's been okay. And mm-hmm. so I don't mind that. And I'm just not very militant with screen time because my kids are good at just, okay, no more the rest of the day. You guys are off the screen. They're, right. they're okay with that, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. so that kind of works with the laminating of whatever you want it to be, whether it be their chores or they have their own little board. And I just think that's a great idea, a great plan. And
I
it would
too.
Work well to have some of their goals in that as well.
Right.
So anyway, I'm going to work on that after this podcast because I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say about that? Oh, one way that I, and this is all over Pinterest too, but this is just fun and it's an easy thing for a mom to stay organized is that little idea of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And that is just easy and fun and it you can do whatever you want and you don't have to do it every day, but like make something Monday. You can just have in your mind, oh, that would be kind of fun to do a craft. Okay. And it just doesn't have to be
yeah.
that hard. It can just be something very simple, but you know that on Monday, if you were going to do a craft, do it Monday because that's fun for the kids to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did last summer is just, I had a little whiteboard and it just had Monday, Tuesday. It was divided into the days of the week. And I would think about it on Sunday night. And okay, this week isn't going to work. We're all going to camp or something. Or the mm-hmm. next week is we're on vacation. But some weeks we're home and it would work. Or some
right.
days it would work. Maybe it wouldn't work every day. The point is, you know, don't look at an idea and say, ridiculous, I'm not going to do that because
right.
I'm not home, you know, or I'm too busy or whatever. Because sometimes you can, you know, like you said, shoot for the moon and land among the stars. Maybe you only did Monday and Friday, but still that was cool for the kids,
right.
you know, that they got to make something on Monday. And Friend Friday is so fun to me. I love that idea because, I mean, people name it all sorts of things, but for us, it was Friend Friday. And so in my head, I was kind of like, they're going to invite their friends over on Friday. And so I, you know, that takes a little bit of planning because you got to coordinate with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just knew, okay, guys, do you have plans on, you know, I would call my friends up and that was fun last summer.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday we did, I don't remember, was it Time to Read Tuesday, which goes along with what you were saying. You can easily at the beginning of the summer go around to Michael's, the library, the gyms in your area, like, for instance, any gymnastics place, a lot of times they have open gyms and you can pay to let your kids go do gymnastics for an hour or two.
How fun.
Yeah. And then Michael's has, it's like $10 for a 2-hour class, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 to 12. The library has reading times and reading programs. There's so many fun, as you were saying at the beginning, programs and things that you can implement. But I like to go gather all those brochures and then kind of plug it into the system. Yeah. But that would be, you know, time to read Tuesday. Tuesday, we're going to go to the library and pick out some books. Or Tuesday, let's just all lay out a blanket in the backyard and read a little bit. Just put an emphasis on reading. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of fun. Then Wednesday, I tried to always, when I was around, like I said, what's cooking Wednesday? I love that idea of teaching the kids one simple thing.
Yeah.
Just simple thing. It could be how to cook an egg. But just kind of having in my mind, I want to teach them something, of, you know, some cooking strategy. And then Thursday was really cool. It was Thoughtful Thursday. And I really liked that because we could make cookies and deliver to somebody. We could pick up litter. I just was like, what should we do for Thoughtful Thursday? And again, this did not happen every single week of summer. This happened here and there. But the kids were like, Mom, you didn't do the board this week. You know, they cared is what I guess. They thought it was cool. They loved it. And my kids are at that age that they would notice and that they would like it. I think Parker would love it.
Yeah.
I don't know if Austin is old enough, but you know, it's probably school age kids really, really enjoy this.
For sure. Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. And so there's lots of different themes you can do. Maybe it's Wet Wednesday with, you know, going swimming or playing in sprinklers or whatever. But I love the idea of Friend Friday, and you're so good that you are always inviting kids over to your house. But one thing I was going to say is one reason that some moms kind of dread summer is that bye-bye alone time. You're used to having, you know, some times where your kids are away during the day and you have some times to run errands or just do something for yourself. Summer can be hard for that. But if you take the time to organize, say, okay, on the first Friday of the month, your kids can all come over here. And then the second Friday, your kids go to somebody else's house for two, you know, and it just has to be like 2 hours, you know, so schedule your doctor's appointment in that window or, you know, schedule a pedicure or whatever it is, you know, or just go sit outside and read a book. But if you can swap with your kids, it's not going to cost you babysitting dollars. And your kids are having a blast. They think it's just a regular old play date. But if you have like 3 or 4 different moms that are switching, you are only doing it once a month. You know?
That's a great idea. So, I hadn't thought of that.
So I really like that.
Yeah, great plan. Yeah, because, and you know, you said that I'm the type of person that's so excited for summer to hit. Normally that's true, but this year, for whatever reason, I think because my kids are getting a little older. Before, I wasn't used to any alone time because I have 4 little kids. Yeah. But now I'm used to having a couple hours to myself alone a day. So I am a little nervous because, you know, moms need alone time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, it's going to be a long time before I'm alone again, unless you get a babysitter or swap kids. So I like that idea.
Yeah,
you know?
But also really preserve, like, okay, so from 1 to 2 o'clock, everyone's doing an independent on days when it works.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's going to be playing independently. You can read, you can watch a movie, you can play with Legos, you can go shoot hoops, whatever. But from 1 to 2, mom's going to go do something that she likes to do. And you can, oh, you can be at your house, but so you can read.
Read a book.
You can exercise at home. You can, you know, or you could just lay down, you know. And once your kids are set up and they know from 1 to 2, mom is off the clock, you know, and she's here for emergencies. But, and I think that's fine to set those expectations that you are entitled to that alone time and they can be self-sufficient for an hour, you know, I mean, depending upon how old your kids are, but.
Right, well, nap time and then the older ones.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's so important. I think, too, another option that's really good for people are vacation Bible schools. A lot of churches do vacation Bible schools where it's, you know, Monday through Friday, typically in the mornings. But out here, it's in the evenings, which is super weird. But usually they're very inexpensive. They're Bible-based and just fun. And it's a good opportunity for your kids to meet new friends and to, you know, be in a wholesome environment, do fun activities. And usually it's very inexpensive. And my kids have loved that. So you can check out the churches in your area. You don't have to be a member of the church to sign up. But it's a great way to meet new friends and to enjoy that.
Oh, absolutely. But, my kids have loved Vacation Bible School. This year they said they weren't going to go. And I'm like, dang it. That was so fun. They've been going for so many years.
Yeah.
It's so fun. fun. They memorize scriptures every day. Right. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I think so too. And I think it's important to reevaluate every summer. Like, just because we love our kids going to vacation Bible school, they might be over it this summer. And really, it's, we don't want another version of having to wake your kids up in the morning and get everybody out the door in a hurry if they're not truly excited to do it. Yeah. You're gonna have have happier kids if you are kind of enabling them to do what they really want to do. And yes, there might be some like coaxing and stuff like that to do meaningful activities, but only commit yourself to do the things that you're gonna look back on the summer and say, "Oh, I'm so glad we did that." You know, do you need to sign them up for every camp available? I mean, maybe, maybe not. Do you need to go swimming every single day? I don't know. It's really up to you to decide, like, what is meaningful to us? What are our priorities? What are they really going to enjoy on, you know, at this stage in particular? And do those things. And don't do things just because somebody else is doing something else. Do it because your kids really want to.
Right. Yeah. And we kind of have a little happy medium with our kids because we have, you know, one that has more anxiety than the others and doesn't like to try new things. And then now we've got the tween that, you know, only has such a set idea of what she wants to happen. And, but then there's things that you want your kids to learn. And so, like, for instance, I really wanted my oldest to do a babysitting camp that would teach her CPR and first aid. Well, that sounded great, but she realized I have absolutely no friends going to this. It's just going to be me. It's every day for three. So she was down on it. And, I said to her, honey, this is going to be one thing where you are going to go to, you know, I kind of said to her, there's going to be one camp that I want you to go to because my husband wanted my boys to do a basketball camp and they weren't super keen on it. But I think it's okay to kind of push your kids into a new situation one time per summer or whatever you feel is okay. Because a lot of times they're not going to be chomping at the bit to do a summer camp possibly because they could be worried about the newness of the situation. But it also teaches them such wonderful skills of how to make friends and how to do something hard and get out of their comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah. And
I agree that you exactly what you said. You don't want to overbook yourself or overextend yourself or be in a situation where you're having to push your kids every single day and it's just hideous for you, you know?
Right. And like, think about the value of that activity. And if you, I mean, you know better than your children's limited understanding at 8 years old or 11 years old. Is this babysitting camp really going to be good for them in the long run? Yes. So next summer when she's wanting to babysit, she's going to regret, oh, I should have just done that CPR class last summer. But you know that now, so you're going to push them a little bit. If you know that one of your children is anxious, if they don't know anybody else going to a new setting, you know, talk them through that. Help them to, you know, learn the ropes on how to make new friends and things. Try and get to the root of why they don't want to do certain things if you think it's a really valuable experience.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I really like kind of moving on from the camps, but I, you know, summer is a time where you can teach the kids. And one reason why I think I look at summer a little bit more positive than negative is just because I get excited that it's a time that I could teach them a little bit more. And I always feel like I don't have enough time with them. And so I really love what it, you know, I kind of at the, right around in May, I start thinking, what would it be awesome to teach the kids about this summer? And every summer it's been something different for me. But this summer I've looked at, I mean, I've thought about mindfulness a lot and I was teaching that in the schools a little bit. And I thought, wouldn't that be cool for my kids to understand mindfulness? Or, you know, you can take a concept that's important to you. Maybe it's yoga or maybe it's cooking or whatever you really enjoy and brings you happiness. Right. You want I don't know, it brings your, it really does add so much happiness to your summer if you can teach that to your kids and approach it in that way. Like, I would love to teach my kids this or that. And so, like, for me this year, I have these biography, children's biography books, and I really, really like them, but they're value tales, and they're very old. They don't even print them anymore, but I found them at the used bookstore, and I thought, how wonderful. I can teach them about people in history, because they love history, and also teach them these concepts like giving or responsibility, whatever the value is of the book. And so I just kind of, now this is where my crazy really comes out, but I do a spreadsheet at the beginning of this. This is so funny. I'm like embarrassed about it, but it just helps me to understand what I'm doing. But I really love that idea. And I feel like looking back then at the end of the summer, you've accomplished something, you've taught them something. And so I love to do that. So I have it. I have the theme for the week. I have the camps. I have this column called swimming just so that I know if they have swimming lessons that day. Because it's just so complicated with all of them. It's like, I need a spreadsheet to keep it all straight. For I have a column of, because I like them to memorize certain things too in the summer, and they get incentives for this. So I have a column for anyway, I won't bore you with the details, but the different scriptures or articles of faith, whatever that they're memorizing.
Yes.
And it helps me. And then I have a column for the weekends because you don't, is someone coming to town? I want that in my summer spreadsheet. Or is it a tournament that weekend? That way I kind of know how busy you're, it's all in one little spot for me. And that, for whatever reason, is a very wonderful little spreadsheet that I just live with every day. So I love it.
Yeah. And you have to do what works for you. For some people, that spreadsheet will help give them peace of mind that their whole summer is there in one spot and they can get a visual overview. And for some people, that might just be like, whoa, you know, and you have to do what works for you.
I just really like the idea of what you're passionate about instilling in your children, because that's just going to make you happier. And it's a fun thing to do in the summertime. The other thing that's fun is because I love sharks. So I'm like just gaga goo goo over Shark Week when it happens. And so I'll usually post this fun party that we do for Shark Week. And people are like, wow, you're a good mom. And then I feel so bad, like I'm trying to brag that I'm a good mom. It's not that. It's just that I personally love Shark Week. And so I'm going, guys, it's Shark Week. Let's watch this and let's do a little fun party. That's what brings me happiness. And of course, I absolutely despise cooking. And so someone else might think, oh, we're going to have a gourmet cooking night. And I would look at that and think that's hideous because I don't like to cook.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, everybody, you bring your passions to the table at summertime and focus on the things that you think are fun, and then try to invite the kids along to enjoy that, you know, as well. So
absolutely,
it's a fun way to look at it.
Yeah, I think so too. And really, I think your kids pick up on your mindset. So if you're waking up kind of dreading the days and making, in viewing every day like, oh, it's another long day ahead, like they're going to pick up on that, and you're going to be hearing way more of, I'm bored. What do I do? You know, but if you've already laid out like, oh, there was a whole list of things you can do, boredom busters, you know, have a chart, all the things you can do. You can play Legos. You can go outside. You can shoot hoops. You can run races. You can whatever it is that they can like choose independently to fill up their whole day with those things. You know,
there
on days,
are so many cute ideas.
So many things.
On Pinterest. I mean, they're, sorry, now I sound like a Pinterest spokesperson, but really all you have to do is type in summer ideas.
Yes.
And like there's a journal jar where they just already have the prompts for the kids to write in a journal. Or there's this, you know, 100 different drawing prompts. And so the kids can have prompts to draw. These are all free printables, and they're just wonderful resources. One thing that I love that I printed last year, I have this big envelope that I just stick up, and it's called Go Outside. And they just pull out one of the little pieces of paper, and it'll tell them something to do outside. And that's just brilliant.
That's
so
brilliant.
Cute. When they're, say they're bored, it's like, okay, go outside. Here you go. You're going to go collect 20 pine cones or whatever it is. So it's just, it's easy to find these things, but you know, it is hard. You're drained as a mom, and in the summertime it's hot, you're exhausted. But I do think that you're, you know, mental, where you are mentally, and if you can just keep up the positivity. And a lot of times I will make them go outside because I just feel like they need to, and they can be bored to tears outside, but that's a good place for them to explore their imagination and be bored if they need to be. But just, you know, go out there and leave you alone.
Right.
Kids do. They're supposed to go outside. Just go outside and go play. I don't need to structure every minute for you.
I heard a great idea, especially if you have younger children. If you go, I mean, all of these things take a little bit of prep ahead of time, but the payoff is so huge. It's worth a little investment up front for the payout in the long run for the whole summer. And so this idea was, if you have littles, either going to the dollar store or going garage sailing one Saturday morning and buying one new thing that you can pull out every week. So if there's like 7 weeks of summer, you can spend $7 or $7 to $10. And so you could buy chalk, you could buy a new toy, you could buy, and if it's a dollar store, like, so it's a set of new action figures, maybe it's silly string, maybe it's water balloons. So one brand new thing that's unique, and you just pull it out whenever things are getting a little stir crazy during the week, maybe, and say, oh, guess what, kids? I have something for you. And you can wrap it up in a gift bag, and they can pull it out, and it's so exciting, and it's chalk. And then they can go crazy with the chalk, and that novelty really goes a long way. And it's not costly, but just introducing like one new thing, one novel thing, can really, you know, spark some new imaginative ideas instead of them just kind of doing the same things all the time when you're at home.
Oh, exactly. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
But I think you hit the nail on the head when you said just trying to have a positive attitude and trying to, you know, just wake up every day, I can do this, yeah. and we, you know, and have fun is kind of the key.
Yeah, and like you said, the night before, thinking about the next day. If you wake up and you're groggy and they're tapping you, give me cereal, Mom, I need help. You know, that's no way to wake up. But if you've already, like, mentally set yourself up, you know what's ahead for the day, you're setting yourself up for success. So just take that little bit of time to plan ahead so that you just have a little bit of strength behind the day ahead, yeah. and you'll have a better chance of success.
No truer words, because it's, I mean, you do, you have to, it is, it does take a little bit of planning. There is no doubt about it that I have lists. I have lists of things I'd like to cook, lists of things, you know, friends I want to invite over. You know, organizing is the key. Yep. You know, you have to have lists and kind of get it planned ahead, and then you're going to have success.
Yeah, and it's up to you how detailed or how lengthy you want those lists, but whatever structure feels good to you, do that. You know, and it's not one size fits all for a successful summer, but, you know, hear what other people are doing and then take what feels good to you, and then you'll have a great summer, and it's something you'll be able to look forward to and enjoy with your kids.
Thank you, Jessica. Yay. That was really fun.
I know.
And I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully I learned a lot from you and some of the ideas that you had, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think that just goes to show, like, talk with your friends, see what they're doing, because there's a lot we can learn from each other and these simple tips. I mean, nothing we said is revolutionary. It's right. just, it just kind of reminds you, oh, yeah, Michaels has art classes? Sign them up, you know?
And, yeah. Well, and if you, I think some days I look like, oh gosh, I've got the whole day ahead of me, and it does frighten me, and nothing calms my nerves or makes me feel better than just making a phone call to a friend and saying, what are you doing tomorrow? Can I come with you?
Right.
You know, I think being with other people and not being alone is huge. And we don't want to do that every day. But like I said, if I have the whole day ahead of me, nothing makes me happier than just giving a friend a phone call and saying, what are you doing? Can I come too?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. 100%. Thanks, Steph. It's going to be a good summer.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yay. All right. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye. Now do you see why Stephanie's my go-to summer person? She has so many great ideas, and I love the balance of having plenty of fun things to do while also getting the to-dos done. I love her chore chart idea of having the different clipboards that rotate. Think of a way to make things fun. And if you get your kids in on the action, if you give them the power to choose what they want, you know, what chores they want to engage in, what they think their have-tos should be, if they have buy-in, they are going to do it and make those things fun and exciting, you know, and anything that you make fun. So if there's chores in the morning, you know, maybe you do it for as long as, you know, two songs are playing. And so you play the same two songs every morning, and that's the chore time songs. And so that equals like 7 minutes. Make them fun. You can dance around, but everybody's working and everyone's having fun together. And so I hope everyone just has a really great summer. If you want any of the tips that we talked about, you can go to extraordinarymomspodcast.com, and I have links to all the resources that we talked about, and I just kind of took notes as far as the different things that we mentioned, things you can look up in your own individual city depending upon where you live. And I'd love to hear what you're doing this summer. So go ahead and leave a comment and tell me what summer things that you have planned and summer procedures and things that really have worked for your family. We can learn so much from one another, and that's just a really fun thing. So thanks again to Stephanie for being on and giving us some of her great summer ideas. Next Tuesday, I have an awesome episode for you. I'm going to be talking with Kelsey Nixon. You may know her from the Food Network. She has a show on the Cooking Channel, Kelsey's Essentials. She was on Food Network Star, and she has a recipe book that, also known as a cookbook. I don't know why I called it a recipe book. A cookbook that has my go-to cinnamon roll recipe in it. She is amazing, and she has been through some really hard things in the last few years. Her first son was born prematurely and spent time in the NICU and just had a really hard beginning, but he's doing really well now. But then sadly, 14 months ago, she lost her second son when he was born prematurely, and he died after 30 days in the NICU. And it is such a sad story, but I really appreciate her sharing her journey, because it's not just about sharing sad stuff. It's about being real, because so many of you have been through hard things, and to hear other people's journeys that have not been easy, but to see how they have kept putting one foot in front of the other, that is where we can find a source of strength and encouragement and hope that sometimes it's hard to muster in ourselves. So you're going to love my conversation with Kelsey. It's her first time talking about her sweet little Leo and his short little life. And I just really appreciate her vulnerability in sharing that story. So you can look forward to that on Tuesday. Everyone have a great weekend, and I'll see you then.